Well, we're gonna start this morning with a song, and it's called Rock of Ages. Can we have that first scripture up, Frank? All right, I'm gonna just read this. It says, therefore, and this is Jesus talking, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on what? The rock. Very good. And the rain came, and the streams rose, and the winds blew. That means the weather got really bad. And beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Very good. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. This morning we're going to sing about the Rock of Ages. Can we have some rock action here? So this morning, Miss Amanda is going to come up and read the text to our scripture today for the message. And it talks about rocks, but it talks about us as rocks, as people, being part of God's plan. And then we have, it also referred to Jesus. And it's going to call him the cornerstone, which is a very special stone that gets put into buildings. Okay? And so we're going to sing about that today because Christ is the one that we are to be building our lives upon, right? And that's like a lifetime of walking with God and knowing him. And so this morning I want to invite you to stand up. This is one of those songs that once you get it down, your hands are going to start moving. I hope they will, all right?
There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved, he's proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. Sing it out. There is no rock, no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved, he's proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. Sing it out, Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of Ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of Ages, Jesus is the rock. There is no rock, there is no God like us. There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved, is proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like us. Nice and loud, Rock of Ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of Ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of Ages, Jesus is the rock. There is no rock, there is no God like us. Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of Ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of Ages, Jesus is the rock. There is no rock, there is no God like us. There is no rock, there is no God like us. There is no rock, there is no God like us. Rock. Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages.
Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, there are so many times in our lives, oh God, when our feet seem to slip and move from underneath us, oh God. We may even find ourselves falling to our knees. But, oh God, what better place, oh God, than to work from to get back up on our feet. Father, you are the provider of all the strength that we could ever need. Lord, you have provided Christ for us, the Rock of Ages. And Lord, we are grateful and we honor you today. We worship you today. And we are glad that we have a place that we can come and stand upon and know that we have a sure footing and that you love us, that you have provided us a stable foundation to live off of, to work off of, to thrive off of, oh God. I pray, oh Lord, that everything that is done today is done for your glory. We honor you, we love you, and we praise you and pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Don't spill that. My wife will be upset.
I'm not. I'm a pro.
You're a pro egg dyer?
Oh, yeah.
You know there's more to Easter than just the eggs, right?
Yeah. Chocolate bunnies, marshmallow chicks, and jelly beans.
Hey, why don't you go to church with me this Easter?
Can he come?
Sure. But you know, Easter's not about the bunny, right? My wife's gonna hate this.
First Peter chapter 2 verses 4 through 7. The living stone and a chosen people. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone."
So how are we doing? I hope you guys are not all tuckered out after all that worship. Because I've seen a lot of dancing going on up here, which is great. You know? I think maybe some of the adults could probably follow your lead on this. So, you know, today I want to talk to you about a rock, right? We sang about that today. I want to say to you that that it is good to be together, and it's good to know that that we have each other, right? In this time, there are people, grown-ups as well as children, in our congregation that need a touch from God today, right? And I was told by someone that somebody is celebrating a birthday today, and because your nephew Jonathan made sure I had to mention it was your birthday today. And so because he said it, I think I got to do it. But we have We have needs too, and I just want to bring up one name to you that was passed on to me this morning, Christina Rossi. There's one family that knows this individual today, and it mattered so much to them that they passed her name up to me to bring it to our attention. And Christina, she has cancer. And anyone who gets a diagnosis of any kind that you're not expecting or could be life-threatening can really, really rock people's worlds, right? Really shake us up. And I want to say this morning, I'm grateful that we have a God that we can actually, when things like this hit us, we can actually turn to him and stand on the knowledge of his great love for us. So why don't we take a moment and pray for Christina this morning, okay? Father, Lord, so many times we're hit with unexpected things. Lord, I'm sure Christina was not expecting a diagnosis like this, and certainly I wasn't expecting a note to be passed up. But God, you foreordained and so set it aside that we would bring her together as a congregation to your throne. Lord, isn't this what the family of God is supposed to be about? Father, we want to be able to be a people that continually care for one another and even for care for those, especially care for those who we may not know, who are strangers to us, oh God, but we know that they are not strangers to you. And so we lift up Christina Rossi to you today, oh God. We ask your hand on her, oh God. We ask your healing touch upon her life, oh God. We pray that you would uphold her in her heart and you would surround her with people of faith to encourage her, to love her, and to pray her and with her and with her through this time, oh God. Lord, we are grateful for this opportunity to be together. In Christ's name we pray. And all the people of God said, amen, amen. Amen. So this morning I want to ask you guys this question. Have your parents ever told you, don't throw rocks? Have you ever been told that? Yeah. Oh, we have some takers here today. Yeah. I'm 62. I'm 62 and I remember my mother telling me, don't throw rocks, right? Let me ask you a question. Why should we never throw rocks? Can anybody tell me? Why should we never throw rocks?
Excuse me. I was trying to tell you, are you going to pray for my cut that got on my finger?
Okay, you know what? I'll tell you what. If you come to me after church, after the service, I will pray with you, and I will pray for your cut on your finger, okay? All right? So, okay, Paige and then Josh, go ahead. Why shouldn't we throw rocks? Somebody could get hurt. Josh?
Somebody can get hurt.
Oh. How? How can somebody, take it a little further, Josh. How can somebody get hurt?
Well,
where could that rock?
Cement is rock.
Yeah.
Tim hit his head.
Tim hit his head.
And it was bleeding all over, and I had to go to the nurse.
You did, but you landed, right? You landed on it? Okay, you didn't trip him, Josh, did you?
No.
Oh, okay, I just want to make sure.
I thought I did.
Oh, you thought you did, okay.
But
when somebody throws a rock, where could you hit somebody with that rock that could hurt them? If somebody threw a rock, where could that hit you and hurt you? Right, on your head, right? You could end up like Tim with blood coming down your head. What's that?
Or on your nose.
On your nose, it could break your nose, right? That's right. You can duck it. That's right. That's wise counsel. Avoid the rock being thrown. Yeah, Josh.
That just reminds me of Daniel and Goliath. When Daniel
took one. You mean Dave,
right?
Yeah, right. That's okay. It's okay. They both start with a D. You're good.
And he took three stones from the water, and the first hit, he hit Goliath right in the head.
Right. Yep.
So a rock can be powerful.
Yes. Right, Josh is saying he's hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought. So Josh is remembering the story about David and Goliath, and he's recalling that rocks can be dangerous because David took Goliath out with one stone right in the center of his head. Now, Josh, you wear glasses. I wear glasses, right? Somebody throws a rock and it hits your glasses. Could break your glasses. Maybe the glass will go in your eye. If you don't wear glasses, he wears glasses too. I mean, he's not wearing them today. Why? Oh, you don't really? Okay. Okay. Do you wear glasses for stylish reasons, maybe? No? Okay. Some people do. Some people don't need glasses, but they like the way they look on them and they wear them, not for that reason, okay? So we have to be careful. Hold on that thought. We have to be careful that rocks are not something to throw and to play with, okay? But what can we do with rocks? Something good. What can we do, Tim? All right, skip it across the pond. Yes, what could we do?
Two ways, actually.
That you can use rocks for a good purpose?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could shape them into one of those pointy arrow thingies.
Okay.
And then put it underground. And you can also grow rocks underwater and it'll go like this.
Okay, skipping rocks. Okay. All right, so what can we build with rocks?
You can make buildings with rocks.
There you go. And that's going to be the second point, okay? Very good. We can build buildings with rocks. What else can we build with rocks? Give somebody else a chance. Go ahead. What's that?
Towers,
okay. Right? Tim. Okay, you can use it to shape things with, Josh? There's something I'm looking for here, okay? What can we build with rocks?
A wall or a village.
Or?
I have one.
What?
You can build a car shape, but put an animal in it, and then push one of those things, and then that animal will run.
Okay, so we can build a shelter, right? Okay. All right, so two more and then we're going to move on. What can we build with rocks?
We can build a home.
Okay, we can build a home.
A road.
Yes, okay. We agree. Her and I, hold it. You can build roads. Now, I want to tell you, the Romans, back in the days when the Romans kind of controlled the world, the Roman Empire built plenty of roads using rocks. 250,000 miles, or kilometers, kilometers converted to miles. 250,000 miles of roads they built. And there used to be a slogan when I was a kid growing up, all roads lead to Rome, right? But they build plenty of roads, okay, and crossings, bridges, all right? So let's look at the first slide. Here we go. Stepping stones. Now, I don't know about you. I once had an aunt that lived up in Nanuet, New York, and we would go there for barbecues in the summer, and they had a stream similar to this that we had to go on the stepping stones. Now, this looks like fun and crossing, but is it stable? No, right? And if you have like a heavy rain and a lot of water came, it would be kind of tricky navigating those stones, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to have great balance to be able to skip across, right? So that's one thing that you can do with stones. It's not the most stable, but it's one. Then we have another.
I don't know how to
swim. We can build peaceful crossings, right? Life is always traveling from one place to another. And sometimes the travels take us to peaceful places. This picture reminded me this week that years ago, when my children were a little bit older than you, we went to Maine, and we went camping, and we went to a place called Acadia National Park, and there were all these bridges that were built, and a lot of them looked like this. They were in very peaceful places, quiet places, where you could go and see a lot of great things. But then sometimes in life, it's not always peaceful, right? Next slide. Sometimes the crossings are dangerous. Now, the picture is kind of dull, but if you look up very close to the top, that's a dangerous crossing. Look how high it is. And it goes up on an arch, right? You think you have to be very careful that you don't fall off that, right? So sometimes life can be dangerous. There's some dangerous crossings that we might have to navigate, especially when we get older, right? And then we have sometimes scary crossings.
Waterfalls.
Yeah, right, right? So you never know. Sometimes there are moments in our lives that can get very scary, that can frighten us. And you know what? That just doesn't happen to you guys. It happens to us as adults, all right? I want to tell you, we just got done praying for Christine Rossi, right? She's now part of her journey is going to be scary, because when you're not feeling well, and you have to go to doctor visits and see what they can do to help you, life can get very scary. And then on the other side of that is times in our lives where we cross over where it's unknown. We don't know what's on the other side, right? We're going across. We don't know what we're going to find on the other side. And so that can be, yeah, scary too, right? Because you don't know. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, right? I mean, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I know it's going to be Monday, but I don't know what's going to happen on Monday, right? Right? So, and we might have things we know we're going to do, but we don't know what's going to happen. Hold that thought. So, this morning, Amanda read to us from Peter. If we could have that scripture back up this morning. All right? And look what it's talking about. It's talking about stones, right? There are two stones referenced in our scripture today. And one is the living stone that God has provided. Can you tell me who that living stone is?
Jesus.
Right. So Jesus is the living stone that God has provided for us. But then he also talks about other stones. And who can tell me what those other stones are? Josh? Look at verse 5.
People,
right?
God's children.
What's that? Okay, all right. So in verse 5, we're talking about that Peter's referring to us as also as living stones. Remember the two pictures I showed you this morning? It was the smaller stones and then the great big stone. Right? That great big stone could be likened to Jesus, and then we are the smallest stones, and we are part of God's plan. And part of that plan is happening here every time that we get together. Now, it also refers to a chosen stone, and that is Christ. In another version, it talks about Jesus being a cornerstone. Remember I told you earlier that cornerstones are very special? That they're put in buildings and they have important information on them that's engraved on those stones. Now, if Jesus is the living stone, what do you think is engraved on him that's very important? Tim? Okay, his death. What do you think is engraved on Jesus that's important to him? Yes, that's right. That's an important part of our Christian history. Because you see, without that, we don't have forgiveness of sins because he gave us his life. We'll get to you, Josh. Go ahead. Okay. There's something else I'm looking for here. And if you only look to the person on your right of you and your left, you'll have the answer. What's engraved on that cornerstone? Right. Each one of our names. Each one of our names, every person in this sanctuary's name is engraved on the cornerstone. And you know, there's another fact about cornerstones, that they're not like all the other stones in the building. There's something uniquely different about the cornerstone. Put your hands down for a moment, okay? It's uniquely different. Now, would you agree with me that there's something uniquely different about Jesus above all other people? Yes? Okay. So that makes him different. And today, on Family Sunday, one of the things we do, what are one of the things we do before we leave here? What are one of the things we do? Yes, we pray. Yes. Yes, what else?
Worship.
Yep. Looking for that one thing that we haven't done yet in the service. We've done that already. Something we didn't do yet. I'm doing that now. Tim. No! Don't leave yet. We're not done. Okay, come on. What else are we going to do before we go home? Right, communion. Man, you guys are a tough audience today. You're not making this easy for me. Right, right. So we're going to take communion soon, okay? So now... Yes, that's right. Awesome, awesome. We're going to have a communion class, and that'll be great. So when we look at verse 5 today, it speaks to Jesus being the living stone, and that we are living stones. But there's something that we need to remember, is that God says that Christ, the living stone, is very precious. And when we take communion together, we acknowledge that what he did for us is special, and that Jesus is precious, right? And so we're going to get ready to take communion soon, right? And part of taking communion is to be prepared, okay? And one way we get prepared is we remember that Jesus, the living stone, was rejected. Do you imagine having this precious stone and you're putting together something, but you don't look at that stone and think it's precious, you toss it aside? Well, that's many people did when Jesus was alive. They tossed him aside. And like you guys just brought up and reminded me, that he died because he was tossed aside. All right? And today, when we take communion, we remember what he has done for us. We remember what he has done for us, okay? The other thing is that we, put your hands down for right now, because the question times are over, because we're getting ready for communion, okay? So the other thing we remember is that what he did for us allowed us to become acceptable to God. Because before that time, we weren't, because of sin in our lives, right? And so when he died for us, we became acceptable because he took all our guilt, all our shame, all our sins. And as long as we believe, we become acceptable. So part of communion is believing, right? Is believing. And that's part of preparation. It's accepting him. But it's also important that all of us as people reflect. And I want to ask you this morning, each of you, so often when we go to this time in the service every month, we can, even though we do it once a month, and it should be somewhat fresh to us, because it needs to be fresh to us, we can fall into a pattern and into rote. This is something we do. This is something we do, and so we'll get it done, and we'll go on with our day. But I want to encourage each of you today to take time out, that as we prepare to take communion, that you would join me in reflecting on your life, on your journey with God. What is it that might be in the way? You see, because God has provided a means for us to be connected to him. And part of this journey is to continually reflect before him, oh God, what would you have for me? What stands in the way between you and I? Is there something that I need to give to you today to be able to step into your presence? Because the bottom line is, as long as we believe, all are accepted to the communion table. All are welcome to receive. But we're also encouraged to reflect. Might there be something that would keep us from entering in? Now, I want to tell you, if you believe this morning, nothing should interfere with you taking communion. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This time is for us to partake, to celebrate, to remember what he's done for us. And so let nothing stand in your way from receiving today. I want to say to you, there isn't a thing that you have done or thought or said this week that can get in the way, as long as you take hold of it and you bring it before God with your whole heart and say, Lord, here I am. Take what is in me. I give it to you so that you might dwell with me, that I might dwell with you. Let's take a moment to do that and be quiet and reflect. While we're doing that, I want to call those who are serving communion to come up and stand before the altar. And we're going to spend a moment, a minute or two, in quietness. Oh, Father, it's at this moment, oh God, that we invite you, oh God, to search our hearts. Lord, how great is your love? Lord, give us a deeper understanding of that love. Lord, in our times of reflection this week, oh God, may we remember that before we ever gave you a thought, you loved us enough to send your only Son to give his life for our sins. Lord, if there is anything, oh God, that we need to ask you to forgive, oh God, we can trust that you understand and that you love us deeply and that you will not turn your head from us, but you will step into our space and embrace us and take the very thing that causes offense, the very thing that can have the power to separate us from you. But Lord, let us remember that nothing but nothing can separate us from your love. Not the depths of hell. Not our greatest weaknesses. Not anything. Lord, in this time, oh God, may we open our hearts to receive you and open our hands to receive the elements. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have no doubt concerning a few things this morning. Number one, that God is in this house. And he dwells with us, each of us, as well in our hearts. And that he loves us deeply and refuses to let anything stand between us and him. And because of that reason, on that night, he gathered with his friends, and he held up the bread, and he said, this is my body, broken for you. Each of you take it and eat. And then later, after the meal was over, he once again picked up the cup. And he said, this is the cup of a new and everlasting covenant. It is my blood poured out for you and for the forgiveness of all your sins. Each of you take it and drink. Let's pray. Father, we could never thank you enough for what you did at Calvary, for how you have kept us before you day in and day out, how much love that you pour out upon us, oh God. Lord, we bow before you. We worship you. We give praise and thanks for all that you've done through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, you may remain standing. Let's worship. I'm going to get this down one of these days.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I sing out.
only because you first loved us, O God. Bless your dear people. Give us a good week. Help us to remain in your presence and to practice silence this week somewhere along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.